All right, let me officially welcome everybody back after about a two-week hiatus here. We've not been recording sessions, and then last week we had our reunion. So welcome back, everybody, to the Zoom room for another edition of our Jesus as Us. We've been talking a little bit about the teaching we shared last week at our reunion. And some of you have had a chance to dive deeper into that teaching, and I'm sure, as Arnold already admitted, this is quite contrary to all that we've been trained and taught to expect as far as what's going to happen in the end. A little straw poll, how many are still holding on to Jesus coming in the rapture and going to take us away? Hey, anybody? Well, I don't see any takers.
Well, you raised your hand, so
I know.
This is going to be a difficult teaching, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
This is a good way to start.
Right. Well, as mentioned earlier, it's hard to kind of go against all of the your race and so indoctrinated to expect certain things, and your whole life was built around expecting this climactic end, and with Christ will come and snatch us out, and trying to see another perspective is, admittedly, it's difficult. And for me, one of the things that keeps me encouraged about this is to my spirit just is recognizing the witness of this, the testimony of this. This just rings, it just fits, especially in light of the conflict I've had growing in the perspective of Jesus living in me. It's been difficult for me to imagine, well, how can he then come in the clouds, but he's already in me? And I don't know if that conflict has arisen in your minds, but that was one of the growing problems I was having. And only of late, and as I suggested, some of the reading, particularly of J. Preston Eby, which I shared with you last Saturday, he's probably done the best to help me sort through some of that earlier teaching and to see how church basically has been going down a line of erroneous thinking. And I did catch some of this in my book, writing about where the rapture idea really came from. It began really in Luther's day. And then it was really perpetuated by a priest called by the name of Lacanza. And that from then on, I describe it in my book, where that really the origin of the rapture theory, and then how it got entrenched in Protestant teaching, and even today, the church is very much just holding, waiting to get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
But what another thing that didn't ever quite fit in it as I begin to see Christ in me is, okay, that's not really how God operates. It was the rapture idea always in my mind was contrary to the patterns that God established from way beyond. I mean, was he going to do something new and contrary to the pattern that he always operated in? And so the teaching we gave last Saturday was a way to refocus on that pattern. How does God operate? What has been his historical pattern right from the beginning? Excuse me. We recognize that the pattern is threefold. And you illustrated this in the priest. There's so much, by the way, some of you have maybe forsaken your Old Testament by now, but don't do it. Go back to the Old Testament now that you know and understand. All of that is symbolic and prefigures Jesus. So you should see Jesus in everything that's a pattern in the Old Testament. And one of those patterns was the feast. And you can see Jesus in each of the feasts. But only the one that's remaining, Tabernacles, is the feast that's yet to be fulfilled. So anyway, that brief summary brings us up to date. Now, let me get your question, your impressions. You've had a chance to kind of digest this and process it in your own minds. What are some of the questions you have?
I don't really have any question at this point, more of a statement. Unlike you, Dennis, because I didn't pay big bucks for this conflict that you've gone through with this whole paradigm shift, I think I'm starting to understand now what a blessing it was that I was raised in Christian Science.
Yeah.
Okay, because Christian Science was so messed up that it taught me to question everything to do with religion.
Mm.
Christian Science never believed in the rapture.
He's the only one. Mm-hmm.
They they believed in an afterlife. That depending on how good you were in this life, which is kind of ironic because this whole life is a dream, yeah. Not real. But anyway, depending on how good you were in this life, you would then end up at a next another level of life.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like you were going to work your way up to the ultimate heaven to be with God. And I think they had like seven levels of heaven, which I think is kind of based on the Jewish concept of heaven.
Okay.
But depending on how good you were in this life, but to determine on where you ended up in the next life, and so on and so forth. So the one thing I got out of this reading or your study from last week reminded me of the very first statement, the question I asked Tom and Marianne Willie at the beginning of my Christian learning to be a Christ and accepting Christ when I went into their class and they were teaching on the book of Luke.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to them, I don't give a damn if I'm going to heaven or hell when I die. I want to know if Christianity has any value in this life.
Mm-hmm.
As I read through this teaching that you did last week or 2 weeks ago, it made me realize how much traditional Christianity has missed the mark.
Mm-hmm.
They are so focused on somebody saying a bogus prayer so they go to heaven that they have totally missed that Christianity has significant value in this life.
Mm-hmm.
So how is the Feast of Tabernacles supposed to take place if nobody's worried about living a better life as a Christian mm-hmm. in this life?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, I mean, Christianity, the whole idea of Christianity is to make this life better, to prepare us for the coming of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's to make you and me better, to love more so that we can share the love of Christ with others,
mm-hmm.
share that light, share that truth, instead of dividing everybody with you going to heaven or hell, or God hates homosexuals, God hates this, God hates that.
Yes.
You know, there's no love in any of that.
Mm-mm.
And what it was E.B., right, that wrote
right.
this?
Mm-hmm.
What I felt he was trying to get at was we need to understand the love of Christ in this life in order to help others understand it,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
so that we're prepared for the tabernacle feast.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
kind of what I got out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. 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 Yeah, Dave, I appreciate your summary of what Christianity has been trying to do for the last, well, basically the last 1500 years or so. ever since the fourth century, where it got derailed. Well, even before that, as early as the second century, the focus became about how we get to go to God and all the ways that we perform and comply with the religious principles so that we can believe or expect to wind up with God. But it's exactly the opposite. We've missed the whole point. It's not us going to God, it's God coming to us and coming to us in more and greater revelation. And that's, it's been just the reverse, you see. We're all thinking that as we perform and get better at doing this Christian life, that we get this great reward. And it's about us. God rewards us. We're faithful. And so he takes us and rewards us and puts us on a cloud somewhere and gives us a harp and we sing forever. I mean,
that's boring.
You're right.
Especially if you heard me sing, that's hardly going to be heaven.
Well, I have to admit, even as a little boy, when I would hear that story, I would think, yike, that's about as, yeah, I'm working hard for that.
So this whole concept of heaven and hell, and say this prayer so you go to heaven, has caused so much division and so taken our focus off Christ, mm-hmm, that we worry about all the political crap that's going on today, mm-hmm, rather than focusing on Christ in me and sharing that love with others. And why don't we engage in the love of truth, mm-hmm, instead of the love of politics?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good day. It for me, it's coming down or coming back to this essential principle. It's about Jesus and not me.
Yeah.
And how, and going from Paul, Paul was just infatuated with Jesus and couldn't get enough of him. And so his gospel is really a gospel of getting to know Christ, who is more than unfathomable. You're never going to end that quest, but everything in your life is about getting to know him more personally, not about you becoming a better person. It's Jesus. It's more about him. And I trust that all of us have gotten this hunger more. See, the church drove that hunger out of us. And we've talked about that. It wasn't about Jesus. It was about the church and the personalities and the politics and all of the doctrine and so forth of the church. And it became about a system. It became about a thing and not Jesus. I didn't preach Jesus. I preached a thing. Do this, do that, follow these steps. Here's how you become a better man. Here's how you become a better person, so that ultimately God looks at you and says, oh, well done, well done. Well, that is so distorted, and that's not God's view. God is not interested in us becoming a better person. He wants us to know him better, all right? And that's the whole point of this. How can we see Jesus more fully? And that's, again, the principle, the threefold principle of the feast, Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. We see him in Passover, we see him in Pentecost, and we're yet to see him in a more complete, full way in us, through us, in Tabernacles. That makes more sense to me. It's all an unfolding revelation of Jesus. Not about me, what I get to do.
For me, it's been a very satisfying point in my life to not be focused on performance. Mm-hmm. And instead sit back and enjoy being in Pentecost, I guess that's a way of saying it.
Yeah.
And looking forward to how Jesus fulfills even more in Tabernacle. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I have a lot to learn. I do not understand it. You know.
And Arnold, that's the place to be. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's where I want to be. I want to be not content with what I know.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be so yet hungry. The more I know, the hungrier I get. But the more that I know, that I realize I don't know. Okay. And especially about Jesus. It's always been about him. But we've twisted it, see? Christianity has become twisted. It's become about a system. And as David says, if we didn't like the system, orthodox system, it created other systems, Christian Science, you name it, all kinds of other isms out there, see, that have been developed. Jehovah's Witness, all of these kinds of these off branches, Mormonism. Okay.
Oh, one of the other.
Dennis.
Yeah, good, Jerry.
Okay, so then kind of a new revelation with Joan and I that, okay, Jesus is in us.
Yeah.
How do we really get to know Jesus better? I mean, he's in us, we're in him,
mm-hmm.
but is that, when you say get to know him better,
mm-hmm.
how do you go about doing that?
Going off from what Arnold was just saying a few moments ago, is there anything you can do? I mean, when we think about it, if it's up to us, we could say, oh yeah, then I can be rewarded. It's not about us. The only thing that we do is say, okay, all right, God, I agree, or I accept that, or I take that, I believe that. That's the response. That is essentially all that we need to do.
I love questions like that because I personally feel the only person that can answer that question is Jesus.
Yeah.
And as we, for me, I'll open up the Bible and I kind of start it with, okay, what do you want to show me today?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And as I've started reading the Bible from the idea of Christ in me and allowing Christ to show me what he wants to show me,
mm-hmm.
okay, through that, I learn more about him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's like the question I struggled with for 4 years. How do I have a relationship with a dead guy?
Yeah.
Okay. Nobody could answer that question. Only God mm-hmm. is going to answer that question for me.
Mm-hmm.
So we can throw the question out to other people, get their thoughts or their input on it. But I think ultimately the question is going to be answered through study and revelation.
Mm-hmm.
God will reveal that answer when he's ready, when you're ready.
That's right. That's
right. Do you think you can do it without the Bible? Because many people don't have a Bible.
Absolutely. Because,
yeah.
Again, I mean, the Bible is a wonderful reference. It helps us tremendously. But as we have discussed in the past, we make the Bible a God. Mm-hmm. And absolutely, David, a lot of answers can come to us without the Bible, through nature, through other people, just through observation of what God has created.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's what Paul said. That's the basic revelation to mankind is through what we see in nature, what we see in the creation. Yeah.
How do you get to know someone better? Well, on the earth here, you know, we get to know people better by just hanging out and spending time. So,
mm-hmm. yeah,
it's spending time with Jesus, and then
yeah,
kind of hard, like you're saying, how do you spend more time with the dead guy?
Yeah. So, Jerry, it may be more, maybe one thing that might be helpful is that, and now mind you, this is how the patterns, and it's so significant. At one day in Jerusalem, in which it was the Feast of Tabernacles, great crowds had been gathered, great throngs of people were there living in their tents. It was the biggest camp meeting of the year for all the Jewish people. And lo and behold, in the midst of that, Jesus gets up on top of the highest place in the temple there so he could be heard by people, and says, if anyone would come to me and drink. Wow. If anyone would come to me and drink, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. This is in John 7, chapter 7, verses 33. You can go there. Think of the significance of that. At the Feast of Tabernacles, he stands up and literally says, here it is. Come to me and drink. There's a water that's flowing and you're free to drink it. If any man is thirsty, let him come and drink. So the keys there are, all right, I'm thirsty. I want to come to Jesus and drink. I just want to drink of him. That's it.
So Jerry, based on that analysis, you need to drink wine. We're having a wine tasting in the apartment. So go to a wine tasting, on all will be revealed.
Okay, so it doesn't matter which variety, Pinot Noir, Pinot Gris, Cabernet.
Well, it just sounds so simple.
Yes.
Speaking for us two, well, probably everybody, we've been working all of our lives to be better people, to do what we're supposed to do, to follow God's word, to look for the answers to prayers, to pray. I mean, we've been working at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, religion is work.
Well, everything in our life is based on performance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Everything but God.
Yeah.
And when you look at God, he kind of goes against everything that man has made.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, God doesn't require performance, but what in our everyday life does not require performance?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I got to perform at my job. You got to perform in school. You got to perform for the wife. The wife has to perform for the husband. It's just on and on and on. Kids have to do their performance for the parents. So our whole life is geared around performance.
Mm-hmm.
And then God comes along and says, nope, not interested in that.
Isn't that something?
Well, another big, big, huge concept to me and the way Joan and I both are going is that it makes such a big difference, huge difference when Jesus is in us doing all this. It takes all the pressure of performance off of you, right? I mean, you don't have to perform.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to do all this stuff you've been trying to do all your life. If you're walking with Jesus, he's in you and you're in him, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It just eases all the pressure of everything.
Boy, Jerry, amen. Amen. Amen.
No?
Mm-hmm. And waking, as David said, getting up maybe in the morning, waking up first thing, saying, well, thank you, Lord. Letting me live another day to see you and what you're doing. I pray my eyes be open and my heart's ready to receive and to watch and to just step with you, be in step with you throughout this day. What are you doing? Where are you leading? What God are you up to?
Total. Yeah, all in all, like you say.
Yeah, and it that is so contrary, as Dave said. It's so contrary to how we've been raised and trained. Yeah. All we've mixed our spirituality in with just the natural course of our lives. That, well, if you're going to be successful, you got to work hard. You got to do this. You got to perform.
Yeah.
That's just no. In my economy, it's just the other way around.
Yeah.
So you watch me. I'm the one performing.
Yeah.
And that's hard to get into our brain, into our
psyche. It is very hard, very hard. Yeah. But it eases, makes life such you're on a cloud, you know?
Yeah. And the first test of that comes when we face a crisis, either health or finance or family. We grow a little impatient with God. Mm-hmm. Now, God, what are you doing? I'm a little uneasy here that I don't see you.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not too confident about your working here. I don't see where this is going. There's the rub, isn't it?
Yeah. There's the test.
Yeah.
Test of where we're going, how we're getting there. And
so can any of you say that you have fully realized or fully see Jesus in this earth, in your life? Now, Jerry, you've been saying Jesus in us. Do you feel like you have fully seen Christ in you?
No. No.
Thank you for being honest.
I mean, it's a work in progress, you know? Yeah. I see little tinges of it some.
Okay.
But
now, hands here. How many have not seen?
Are you there yet?
Right. Yeah. I 1 John 3:2 has become so, I never understood what this really meant until just recently. Beloved, now we are children of God. All right. And it was not as yet manifested what we shall be. You get that picture? We don't really yet know fully who we are. But when, here it is. But what we shall be, we are aware that if he should be manifested, we shall be like him. Wow. So there's an anticipation of something more that's going to be revealed to us, or revealed about us, I should say. But as yet, we haven't seen that. And that's what we're talking about is in this third phase, this tabernacle, that's what that feast was all about, the inhabitation of God dwelling fully with men. Now, remember, I wrote about this in the teaching. One powerful foreshadowing of this, analogy of this, was when Solomon finally finished the temple. All right, the old tabernacle pattern had been transitioned into the temple. Tabernacle was wilderness, temple now was permanent. All right, and David had such a desire. King David had a desire to build a temple for God. He wanted to kind of put God in this box in a way. He wanted God to be there so he could always, anytime he wanted, to walk into his presence. Well, at the feast, it just so happens when his son finally finished that temple, all years and years of construction, you can read about this in Chronicles. It was on the Day of Tabernacles, the Feast of Tabernacles, in which the priest went in and, as been instructed, went in to finally consecrate the temple, went into the Holy of Holies. Boom, the presence of God shows up in a glory cloud like they hadn't seen since the wilderness, how many hundreds, thousand years before, where they witnessed the Shekinah glory cloud over them, leading them as a fire at night and a cloud by day. That glory cloud shows up in overwhelming presence in that temple, such that the priest couldn't even stay in there. Now, that's foreshadowing this revelation of Jesus in tabernacles in us. You see that analogy, that type? That's what God was showing us there in the Old Testament scriptures, in the Old Testament narrative. This is a foreshadowing of Christ fulfilling that third feast in us. it's going to be more than we can. It's overwhelming. It just, oh my goodness, more of Jesus and the presence of God in our lives than we've ever witnessed before. Jerry, you said God, Jesus is in you, and you know that in part, right? You don't know that fully yet. We're all still living in this in part time, in part knowledge. We're looking into a mirror still. And we're getting back this distorted image. It's not really clear. But then the mirror is removed and we see face to face. That's what is coming. That's what's the next phase in God's economy of fully being recognized in the earth.
So Dennis, help me understand this same scripture that you just read,
mm-hmm.
John 3, 2 and 3. Mm-hmm.
1 John 3, 2.
But, mm-hmm. Yeah, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him,
mm-hmm.
for we shall see him as he is.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then it says, everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself mm-hmm. just as he is pure.
Okay.
Now, help me understand that a little bit.
All right. So we have this hope that we're going to see Jesus fully, and he's going to show up like me. I'm going to be fully recognized as Christ. Right now, I'm not fully recognized. Anybody walk up to you, anyone here recently and say, oh, Jesus, how good to see you.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. My
wife will walk up to me and tell me that I don't see Jesus exactly in you today.
Yeah, no, we're getting that quite a bit in married life.
Although when we got together on Saturday, I had a glimpse of that.
Okay,
I don't know. I can't describe it any more than that.
All right.
You know, Dennis and I have kicked this verse around a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it is always taught in the future tense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I believe the key to that verse is understanding in the present tense
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that the more we focus on Christ, the more he's going to be revealed to us.
Mm-hmm.
And the more we're going to understand that we are like him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we got to get beyond the past or the future tense of that verse
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
because it's not really meant to be a future mm-hmm. tense.
Yeah.
And if we can focus on it from the present tense of Christ in me
mm-hmm.
And always looking for Christ to reveal more of himself every mm-hmm. day,
yeah,
then I think that verse starts to make more sense.
Yeah, exactly, David. And this is confirmed in verse 3. For we shall see him according as he not was, not will be, as he is.
As he is.
Yeah. Present tense.
But that's still taught as a future tense. Because we're not we're not going to see Jesus till we get to heaven.
Exactly. That's how the doctrine of the rapture theory and all of that has so permeated our thinking, has twisted scripture. We've overlaid the doctrine onto very scripture and made him say what our doctrines want.
Yeah.
No, you're very right. That's when we let scripture speak as it is, what it's saying, our eyes are open and we see things we haven't seen before.
Excuse me.
Yeah. Excuse
you,
Jerry.
Sorry. That's a big one.
He warned me. He didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. So the present tense is so incredibly significant and important in that verse, and we've overlooked it. As according as he is, so and same was it a John or excuse me Revelation, and someday in the future we'll get more into that whole book. What is that really about? Because again, that book has been used to defend the whole idea that we're going to go off to this place where we're going to see this wonderful things happening. The book is simply nothing more than the unveiling of Christ spiritually, metaphorically in our lives. And John, Revelation 1:7, I believe it is, Christ, who is, who was, and is to come. He's here. He's been here. He is here now. He is more to come. So you get this unquestionable point that Christ is existent right now in us. We just don't fully see it yet, or him yet. And when we see him, we're going to recognize him because he's going to look like us. That's, again, where that if he should be manifested, we should be like him. We're going to see him as he is. Oh, that's who I really am. And that's the wonderful thing about tabernacles. We're not going to see an individual Jesus. We're going to see the body of Christ. We're going to see all of us. He's going to show up as all of us. Now that's, you know, stretch your mind around that one. You know, we've been looking for a solitary figure to come down out of the clouds, all right? And logistically, I always had a problem with that. Okay, if I'm in North America, see him, do the Chinese see him on the other side of the world at the same time? So, you know, what makes more logical sense is exactly what Paul says, and John says, he's going to show up as us. He's already been there, but we've not seen him to the extent that we're going to see him when he fully is revealed.
Well,
I don't know if that's getting anywhere where your question is for that verse, Arnold.
Yeah, it just brings more questions.
Okay.
Because will we see a physical Jesus? I have not seen a physical Jesus. I've seen pictures of him, alleged pictures.
Here's the thing. The physical Jesus disappeared on purpose, right? And that's where the church has been hung up. We've not let go of the physical Jesus. And Paul tells us that. We no longer judge according to the flesh. We cannot look for a flesh physical Jesus anymore. He's gone. That picture, that image of Jesus is gone. How does he now reveal himself? Through us. Yeah. And there's where Christianity has struggled for thousands of years. How does this work? And we've not listened to Paul in his gospel. He will appear in us, and we will see him as he is. Well, if he is, that means right now he's here somewhere. And that somewhere is us.
Which actually is so refreshing to me.
Yeah.
That.
How will you recognize him? You'll recognize yourself. Yeah. That's another way of saying it. Suddenly you're aware, you've been in me all this time. I've not seen it. Now I know it.
What's great about conversations like today is we've got questions popping up that none of us can answer.
Mm-hmm.
And that really the answer lies within the revelation that God wants to give us.
Yeah.
And it can only come from him.
Only from
you. So, I mean, that's kind of what makes these conversations exciting. Is this, what kind of questions are going to pop up today that nobody can answer?
Exactly. And how we, each of us, grow by interacting this way, by hearing our questioning and maybe throwing out some perspectives or some ways that each of us are trying to better understand. And we're growing together. This is the body forming and growing, the Christ within us. See, we don't see it here, but all of us in this moment are the revelation of Christ. This conversation this morning, he's here and he's revealing himself in this conversation. we're getting a little more glimpse, each of us in different ways, multitude, all of us, not, we're not the same. Each of us are a little different, a way that we're seeing him, a different side of the diamond, a different facet. But together, we're experiencing the ongoing progressive revelation of Christ. He's here in this moment.
Can I back up to something that David said earlier, question that David threw out to me, mm-hmm. about, do we need the Bible to, yeah. as you put it, see God or understand God? My own personal experience is I've been to the beach, I've been up in the mountains, just doing prayer walks or just having alone time. And I'll never forget one of the most interesting things, some of the most interesting things God has shown me has been when I've been out in nature.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He revealed to me a little bit more in depth of the relationship between me and him, mm-hmm. as I was watching a man with his dog on the beach. Mm-hmm. And if you watch how a dog reacts with his master on the beach, mm-hmm. it is quite revealing of how our relationship with God works.
Mm-hmm.
I have been up in the mountains watching a creek flow or just taking in all of nature to have God show me more of what he wants to do. Mm-hmm. So yeah, David, I agree with you wholeheartedly. We do not necessarily have to have our nose in the Bible to hear from God or to have him show us something. As the Bible says, you know, all of creation screams of him.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks for sharing that.
What's that?
Thank you for sharing that.
Oh, yeah, you're gotcha. Welcome.
A great analogy, great principle. And then when you look at history, the Bible really wasn't really fully available until well into this, almost sixth century. So Paul he's at the end of the first century and preaching and teaching. What are those people, where do they get their basis? They don't have any scripture. Now, albeit the Old Testament is available, but you have to be careful about reading, and as Paul warns them, you have to be careful about reading the Old Testament. It's for example only.
You know, you mentioned something about David and the tabernacle, which struck me as a little ironic, and it's typical of Christians today. Mm-hmm. Because of the way we're taught.
Right.
You mentioned that David wanted to see the tabernacle built and filled with God so that he could go to God anytime and be in his presence.
Mm-hmm.
Yet you look at David's life, and it's like, when was God not there?
Exactly.
Okay. But
where can I go from your presence, he says.
Yeah. But David had this mindset that there, it appears David had this mindset, there was a bit of a separation. Yes. Okay. And that is so prevalent in Christian thinking today.
Mm-hmm.
Oh God, fill me with more of you. Oh God, mm-hmm. I want to come into your presence. And all this stuff that we're taught screams of a separation.
Right.
And there is no separation.
No.
But it's, you know, everything we're talking about here today, or almost every week, is contrary to what we're going to get from the pulpit.
Unfortunately, it's true. And most of what what we're reading and growing in the understanding has not been from the standard pulpit. Unfortunately, you're not going to hear this. And if you do hear it, you're not in the same environment that you've ever witnessed before. This doesn't sound like church. because immediately it's going to do away with all of the standard things that go into that environment. You're hearing fresh and new revelation, and you're wondering, well, why? Whoa, what? Why are we even here? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Most preaching and teaching was to nurture an image, perpetuate a system, and I think you refer to King David. David was still conflicted in this. He recognized God was everywhere, but yet I want to go and be sure that I can always find him. And so I yearn to go into his presence, and his tradition taught him that God exists in the tabernacle, in the temple. But he was missing the point, right? Wasn't he, David? He was missing that whole aspect of God's presence in him and around him everywhere. Boy, I want to share, not to be negative, but Shirley and I discovered on Discovery Plus, if you have that streaming channel, there is a series, a recent documentary done on the downfall of Hillsong. Are you familiar with Hillsong Church?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Powerful international mega church, powerful multi-million-dollar enterprise. And really revealing that whole thing has collapsed.
Hillsong was the group that came out and performed when we were doing
wonderful, beautiful worship and praise. Some of the most inspired music that's ever been written, really.
They caused me five of the worst days of my life. That's a whole nother story.
That's another Sunday.
Yeah. I need to clarify something here. I tend to poke fun at my wife in these conversations, but uh-huh. I got to tell you, being married to my second and third wife is absolutely phenomenal. She is the most loving person. She is a great, great wife. Amen. And I do enjoy picking on her because I'm a jerk. But I gotta say, my wife is absolutely phenomenal. And I am so blessed to have remarried her. It's just
we've all heard it here, folks.
That's awesome.
It's being recorded. It's official.
Yeah,
yeah, it's recorded. It's on tape.
One of my most favorite things is when I'm talking to people and I mentioned on, I'll tell them that I'm sleeping with my second and third wife.
Yeah, he's trying to confuse people. I know. Hey guys, let's continue the conversation. Let it grow, the revelation it is in us of Christ, and talk more about what is it we're really expecting. How do we see more of Jesus? I might mention that this material, for the sake of those not here this morning, we're listening to and watching, is this material I'll make available on our website. And so they can download, just go to our website, northwestmenscoalition.com, and we'll have it under the resources pages. So anyway, good to see everybody again.
Yeah. Wow.
Thank you.
And thank Beth, you.
Good to just kind of keep wearing those scholarly glasses, Beth. You just
I know. It, yeah.
All right.
I think David ought to be the matching pair.
Yeah. Right. All right, everybody.
All right.
Love you all.
Being in Jesus.
Have a great day.
Thanks. Okay.
Bye-bye.